Happy Monday. It is time again for Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. I have my good friend Tim Peel. I'm sure he had a great weekend after an amazing trip to Mexico on spring break. I can't wait to hear that. Peelzy, we had an amazing weekend. And to be able to be coming to everybody right here on nofilter.net and congratulate some pretty unlikely goal scorers. This was very shocking of a weekend for me. And first of all, how are you doing? And then let's get right into it. Let's talk about some of these 50 goal scorers that we just saw.
Yeah, I'm doing great, buddy. I had a great trip with the family, but I know someone that's doing a lot better than me, and that is Sam Reinhart. First time he's ever scored 50. Second overall pick from Buffalo in the first round. Prior years, 31 goals last year, 33 the year before, and 50 this year. This guy is in a contract year. I love it when guys have their best years in a contract year. And he is looking for a big pay raise, buddy.
Did he just step it up a notch? And let's just before we start talking about his contract situation and what he might tote on the free agent market. This guy, if you gave me 30 choices in the National Hockey League of guys that I would think would score 50 goals, Sam Reinhart would not be in the first 30 choices that I would give you. What this, and granted, not taking anything away from Sam Reinhart because he's a very good hockey player. You just said his stats, 30 goals, 33 goals. These are great seasons, but he just hit the epic season. He just hit the very, very difficult threshold of 50 goals in a season. And if you think about that, I was the last player for the Chicago Blackhawks to score 50 goals back in 1992-93. Think of that. That is 30 years ago. 30 years ago was the last time someone scored in 50 goals for the Blackhawks. Hyman also scored 50 goals over the weekend. Congratulations to him. If you gave me 50 people that I could guess that would score 50 at the beginning of the season, Hyman would not be part of that 50 choice. That is how unbelievable accomplishments that these two players, and by the way, they deserve it because they're both hardworking. They're both honest players that are very reliable and give an honest effort every single night. And you know, Reinhart had a tough sled in Buffalo. I mean, did not have a good team. He still worked hard. He still got the job done. And they, you know, he got shipped off to Florida. And granted, he scored 50 goals because he is on a good team with good players. And he took advantage of a situation. And now, you know what he did? And Hyman as well. Yep. He has secured himself for the rest of his life financially. And I'm thinking that the threshold starts at least $10 million for Sam Reinhart in a contract negotiation year. That's a starting threshold.
I don't know. I disagree. I think 10's high. You know, yeah, I know the salary cap's going up and that, but you know, I think if he secures an 8x9, he gets a deal like that. That might get it done. Going to Zach Hyman. This guy was a fifth round draft pick. Okay. He's making 5.5. I never understood why Toronto let him go. Well, they probably had to let him go because of the big four that they have there and the salaries that they're committed to, but he's got 4 years left on a 7-year deal.
He picked the worst time to score 50 goals.
Right. And he was actually drafted by Florida. I forgot about that. He was drafted by Florida, and they made a trade in the offseason. The last 2 years, 27 goals a year before. Last year, 36 goals, and this year, 50. And it bothers me when I hear people say, well, he's playing with Connor McDavid. But guess what? If it was so easy, then why doesn't everybody that plays with Connor McDavid get 50 goals?
Yeah. I agree with a little bit of that assessment. Yes, he still has to score the goals, right? He still has to do the work. He still has to put himself in position. He still has to have the hockey IQ to be able to get in position. There's no question about it. But he has proven himself to be a goal scorer, but Connor McDavid, and you can even say Dreisaitl, are a 15-goal difference, 16-goal difference in a player.
Absolutely. For a guy for a guy that properly knows how to play the game, where to
correct
go. His 50th goal last night, McDavid had the secondary assist, Bouchard had the first assist, and he was at the left side of the net. And
it's a right place to be, right?
Right. So you know what?
So again, so what you said was correct, but it was also I disagree with you because those 15 goals are the Connor McDavid effect or the Dreisaitl effect, playing with the best players, and he's absolutely benefited from that.
Absolutely. There was a guy back in the day, BJ McDonald. He scored 50 goals for the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s, and I bet the Gretz had 49 of the assists, right?
Yeah.
It's a good question too,
because hey, you know, I just talked to you about 50 goals for the Chicago Blackhawks. Do you know there's only three players in the Blackhawks that have ever scored 50 goals? Myself, Bobby Hull, we were goal scorers.
Yeah.
And the third one was one that nobody ever gets, was Al Secord.
Al Secord, yeah.
Now, yeah. Al Secord wasn't a goal scorer, but you know who he played with that year? He played with Dennis Savard.
Right.
So, again, people that take advantage of the people that they play with, you got to give them just as much credit of scoring the goals because they got to do the work.
100%. And I think Secord that year too, he had over 150 or 200 PIMs as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's unbelievable. But
but you know what's crazy though? But here you got two guys in Zach Hyman and Sam Reinhart. Okay, yep. They score 50 goals in the same year, but Sam Reinhart's going to be making at least $5 million more than Hyman because of contract years left. And if you're Hyman, you're like, damn it. Now, what if he has a couple low scoring years? This 50 is not going to affect his next contract signing, I don't think.
You know what I love about Zach Hyman? Every interview, and I watched his interview last night about his 50th Gene Principe interviewed him. He's very humble.
Oh yeah.
He just seems like the ultimate team guy. You could see how excited all the players were for him. I love that guy. He is a great hockey player, smart and well liked.
Yeah, I totally agree on everything that you just said. He is the ultimate team player. He's humble, and you're right. Watching all those players on his team last night congratulate him on the ice, on the bench, leaving the bench, everything, you can tell he's loved. You can tell he's respected. And that means a lot in the game. I'm telling you, what a great compliment to a personality and to a player.
You know what, Jared? You touched on something, well, we both did, but I think that they have a good locker room. I think they have a good group of guys in Edmonton. I saw when Connor Brown scored the other day, you know, first time in like 82 games that he scored a goal. Nobody was more excited than his teammates to see him score. So, you know what, Edmonton, they're on a little bit
of a row. Did you see, you talk about Brown scoring a goal, then he gets right back into the snake bit situation. Did you see that goal that he missed, that empty net that he missed yesterday? Oh, my God. He had a wide open net with the goaltender laying on the ground, and he takes a shot, and he kind of whiffs it a little bit, and the goaltender just throws his leg up and stops it. I mean, it was like if you're Connor Brown, you're like, what the hell do I have to do to score a goal in this league? This guy, if this guy didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at all. It's just comical.
Well, they're on a bit of a tough little skid here right now. They've lost three in a row, but Edmonton's a good hockey club. You know, it's going to come down to goaltending, I think, for them in the playoffs. But somebody that we definitely didn't beat up on him because he's could be the greatest goal scorer of all time. But we were critical of Ovi and, you know, the slow start that he was off to. But guess what? In his last five games, he's got 8 goals and 1 assist. He's for 26 goals. You and I didn't think he'd get to 15 goals, you know. And kudos to him because the team that he's playing on is I've got their lineup here. It's It you know, okay.
It's meager. It's meager.
Connor McMichael's the center with Oshie. Oshie's a player. Second line, Pratra, Strome, Van Marischenko, Pacioretty, Lapierre, Sonny Milano, and so on. You got to give Spencer Carberry a lot of credit here. He has done a tremendous job. They're in the playoffs as of today, buddy. And guess what? Guess who they play tomorrow night? They play the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow night.
They played Detroit twice left in the regular season, correct, which is huge. But again, this is how things correlate together. The Washington Capitals in the beginning of the year were god awful. They couldn't get out of their own way. We were counting them out of the playoffs. And Ovi was not scoring goals. Right. All of a sudden, Ovi starts scoring goals. What happens? Right. Washington starts winning, and they get into the playoffs. This is why it's so important that the top players produce and play the game that they can play, because they lift the entire team. And Ovi is doing that. And I don't know what the reason was why he wasn't scoring, whether he was injured or just guys were getting used to each other or so on and so forth, or there was pressure on everybody. But Ovi stepped it up. And now Ovi's energized. He's energized more than he has been all year. And it shouldn't be like that for a superstar. Ovi should be energized all the time because he has to understand, and he should understand after winning a cup and change the way that he played the game and by the way that he attacked the game on both sides of the puck, that he is the engine that makes that team go. So good for Ovi to turn it up and put his team back into that playoff race, and they probably will make the playoffs right now. I think there's a couple other teams I fear not making it, maybe Detroit or Philly.
Philly's in trouble. But
they could be.
Before we get to them, Charlie Sideburns Lindgren, who played a little bit here in St. Louis, has played unbelievable. Shutout yesterday. He's taken over the number one job from Darcy Kemper. So good for him. I like seeing guys do well that, you know, he's kind of been he was in the minors for a long time. And then he's always been the backup, and gone from team to team. I root for guys like that.
Yeah.
So
happy, hey, can we, happy. Since we're celebrating and saying great things about people, one of the greatest guys in the National Hockey League. And, one of my very good friends, TJ Oshie, played his 1,000th game, and the celebration that they had for him on the ice, and again, the way that his players showed their admiration and respect to TJ Oshie, what a great, again, a great celebration of an amazing person and a gritty, gritty, gritty hockey guy. I love TJ Oshie. I know you do too from his time in St. Louis. And by the way, a thousand games for a guy who probably a lot of people didn't think would last in the league because of his size.
Size and he was kind of
not a great skater.
He's not exactly. He's not the best skater. I read an article this morning, actually, ironically, about Oshie. And when he got traded from St. Louis, he was devastated. But he had played with Carlson. He had played with a couple other guys on the U.S. Olympic team. But at the time, he was devastated. His words in this article was he thought he would be a Blues for life. Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, you hit the nail on the head about being a great person and a great teammate. You know what the Caps did in their ceremony for him? With a video tribute and players congratulating him on 1,000th game, they included David Backes. They included Alexander Steen. They included another Blues player. Oh, Perron, former Blues player. All these guys that played with him at the beginning of his career spoke. It wasn't just Caps players and so on. This guy is loved, and he's had a tremendous career. You and I were both in Russia when it was TJ Sochi, and it was you know what? I love the guy like you do. Great teammate, and you know what? We need. Hey, we're not going to have Sid in the playoffs. Let's get Ovi in the playoffs at least, right? And one last thing on the Caps. They're also doing this without Tom Wilson, who served his second game yesterday for a bonehead high stick. And I love Tom Wilson, okay? but that was really dumb. And
it was really dumb.
He's got four more games left, and they're going to need him.
I was surprised he only got six. I mean, I could have seen with all of his past history. And not only that, some of the things that they've allowed, they've kind of got him off scot-free, but still was suspensionable. That wasn't a 10-gamer, because that was, again, we talk about things that you do as a hockey player and things that you're taught and things that are, you know, part of the game and things that are just awful to see. That was awful to see. That is not a hockey move of any sort, swinging your stick high in the air like that. And I mean, there's no need for that. That was reckless. That was, and you can't tell me that wasn't on purpose. You don't swing your stick like that by accident into somebody's face. I thought he should have got 10, and I like Tom Wilson too, but he does things. He's almost like the old Brad Marchand, right? Who does just stupid things that take away from his style of play that you should be admiring and loving as a teammate. He loses his credibility by doing stupid ass stuff like that. And I know he's an aggressive and an energetic person, but come on, Tom, that is so irresponsibly stupid of a move. And he got lucky with six games.
Yeah, well, they're going to need him, because the next three games too with Odom, they play the Red Wings tomorrow, then they play the Leafs, and then they play the Bruins. So they're in the playoffs as of today, but they're in a dogfight with Philly, with Detroit. And I want to touch on Philly. I know this is only a 30-minute show this morning, but I want to touch on Philly, and I want to get your thoughts. I love Torts, okay? But I don't agree with benching your captain. And I want to get your thoughts on it. Brandon Dubinsky is the Mike Commodore of on Mike Babcock. Brandon Dubinsky is the guy on Torts. He cannot stand him, and he played for him, and I know in Columbus, and I think in New York as well. And he can't stand him. And I saw an article yesterday, and it was a video with Andre Waugh. And Andre Waugh played for Torts in Tampa. And he said he benched him and then quit playing him the rest of the year and wouldn't talk to Andre in the hallway, wouldn't talk. He had the assistant coaches tell him that you have played your last game in the National Hockey League. His teammate, he didn't even want Andre to practice. The Tampa teammates stepped up and said, he's got to practice with us, Torts. Torts does some things sometimes that I just don't agree with, and I don't agree with him benching Sean Couturier.
Well, it's not that I don't agree with the benching. I just don't know what the significance of or what the consequences of benching your captain are going to create on your team. And I also don't know what Sean Couturier did to deserve that. Now, it could be definitely a personality conflict where Torts just does not like the mentality of Couturier, and is not, obviously Couturier is not producing whatsoever as his role is laid out for him. He's not scoring goals. He's been a minus, and here's a player who is known as a defensive player. So he's not scoring goals and he's not doing the job defensively. So as a coach, you got to say, hey, listen, am I going to treat my captain, who's not pulling his weight, the same way I'm going to treat everybody else, which is going to send a message to the rest of my team. And maybe they will pick up the slack that Couturier is not doing, or is Couturier being combative in the locker room? Is he taking accountability for the way that he's playing? I'm not the biggest Sean Couturier fan. I think he's a good player. I admire him for his defensive capabilities and his penalty killing. I don't see him as being an energetic person. I don't see him as being an energetic captain that's going to lift teams verbally or with his player. And that's the type of people I think Torts is drawn to. He's drawn to energy. He's drawn to physical play. Those are the players that he likes. Now, Torts will be Torts. And we talk about the game changing and being able to be a coach that can relate to these players in the proper way. Torts is the old school mentality. And a lot of us are shocked that he's even in the game coaching,
right?
But he's been effective whether you like Torts or not. Okay. He stays with how he believes he should coach, and he doesn't let all the noise from outside and all the people criticizing him change the way that he coaches his team and how he reacts to the media. He literally says, "I'm not talking Sean Couturier." He just tells it right out. Now, is that unfair to everybody else? Because all we see is the outer part. We see Sean Couturier not playing.
Yeah.
And then we see John Tortorella saying we're not talking about Couturier. But it would be so much more beneficial if one of them, either Torts or Couturier, kind of let us in on what's going on. Right now, we're just sitting here. We're bashing Torts. We're bashing Couturier, and that's unfair. I just hope they straighten it out because I'm a big Flyer fan. You know I am. I want them to make the playoffs. I am a big John Tortorella fan because I like that. I like that hard nosed mentality, and also he gives great interviews. He's fun to watch.
Well, but let me ask you this: yesterday he gets asked about their goaltender and the goaltender's performance. And he looked at the reporter and the reporter was asking the question. He looked and then he just walked away. He didn't answer the question. Torch is good for sound bites. You know, remember him and Larry Brooks used to always go at it in New York.
Yep.
But is there not a level of, shouldn't as a coach, you are required to answer some questions, are you not? Like
yes, but sometimes silence is all the answer you need.
Yeah, good point.
Right?
No, like that's a good point. Yeah.
And there's no better delivery person than John Tortorella, whether he says something or whether he does not say something, because his mannerisms, his facial expressions, and his actions, and sometimes his non-response are all you need to know what John Tortorella is thinking of that performance or of that player. Now, do I feel bad for Sean Couturier? Absolutely not. Do I feel bad for the goaltender? Absolutely not. These guys get paid a lot of money. Sure. to perform and play the game to a certain level. And the coach is going to be the first person to hold them to the highest level.
You know what? You talked about energy and the type of player that Torts likes. And as you were saying that, I thought to myself, because when they named Sean Couturier the captain, I think looking back, Torts would be like, you know what? I should have named Travis Konecny the captain. I should have named Konecny the captain. This guy plays with emotion, plays with, and we're not saying Sean Couturier doesn't, but Konecny scores. He's an emotion guy. Maybe that should have been the choice for the captain of the Phillies.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, right? in hindsight, maybe it's not out of the question for the coach to change captains. It happened in San Jose between Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton,
right,
in the offseason. And even though that's embarrassing to Patrick Marleau, that was the decision that was made by Doug Wilson. And for a lot of people, they thought that was the right decision. For a lot of people, they thought that was the wrong decision. But it's, you can do it. I would not be surprised if in the offseason, Couturier stays in Philly. But if he stays in Philly, it would not be out of the realm of possibility that they put an A on his sweater and not a C.
Right.
Right. Because right now, Sean Couturier is not playing to the level of having that C on his sweater. And in the most important time of the year, I mean, they are battling to stay in this playoffs with a couple teams or three teams chasing them. And they could be that odd man out. And it's up to your captain to lead the way, i.e. like Ovi is. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Philly, but I'm wishing the best for him.
You know what? I want to touch on there's a big game tonight. St. Louis is hosting – or I'm sorry, tomorrow. No, it is tonight. Yes, tonight. St. Louis is hosting the Vegas Knights. The Blues have been on a roll lately. I think they're 8-2-1. And they're 4 points behind Vegas, but this is obviously make or break. They have to win this game. You know, they can't lose this game. I'm really looking forward to it. I wouldn't call Vegas back in October when they got off to a great start in the first month of the season, JR. You and I were like, this is a team that can repeat and win a back-to-back Stanley Cup championship. I don't see that this year with this team. I don't know what it is.
Well, let's – again, yes, this is going to be a huge game. It's a four-point game. This could be the beginning of the end or the start of the beginning, okay, which is – I guess that's a kind of a weird play on words, but it's very true.
Very deep there.
Yeah, very deep. Vegas has an amazing team. They have been bit with the injury bug again this year, and you can't make excuses because you still got to win hockey games. Mark Stone being out of the lineup as long as he has been is a detriment to this team. Mark Stone makes this team go. He is the most important person in that locker room. He's the glue that holds that team together. He runs the power play. Not having him in that lineup is huge. I was with Mark last Friday. In Vegas, we had dinner together on Friday, and he's concerned. I think he's pretty close to getting back to playing, but he's not going to come back until his spleen is 100%. Now, the team goes out and gets amazing, amazing products in the trade at the trade deadline. Hanifin, Hurdle, obviously Hurdle's hurt also. They have what it takes. But for some reason, they're not cohesive. And the cohesiveness right now would be better if Mark Stone is in that locker room.
I agree.
And they have the talent, they have the pool to repeat, but they are on the brink right now of missing the playoffs, which would be an unbelievable debacle of a letdown after winning the Stanley Cup and then coming back to miss the playoffs. After grabbing so many amazing attributes at the trade deadline, it would be one of the biggest disappointments in the league without question. But I also think the injury bug has been one of the major reasons for the Golden Knights battling the playoff situation.
Well, and you know what, St. Louis, Jordan Binnington, if they were going to the Olympics this year or doing any kind of tournament, he would probably be the starting goaltender. He may even be in front of Hellebuck. This guy has played unbelievable this year. He's had an outstanding career. Kyrou's up to 25 goals. Brandon Saad, I think it's fifth or sixth year that he's scored 20-plus. He's got 22. And Jake Neighbors has got 25 goals. This guy.
Wow. Yeah, he's had a great season.
This kid might be a 30 goal scorer. So I'm looking forward to that game tonight. That'll be a fun one to watch.
Well, listen, it was a great weekend. Congratulations again to Sam Reinhart, Zach Hyman, two of the most unlikely 50 goal scorers that I have seen in a long time, but they deserve it. They work hard. TJ Oshie, I think we've had some great comments this and topics for the weekend. It's going to be an amazing last 14 games, 13 games here. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch to see who's got the grit to get into the playoffs and who's going to fall flat in their face. Because you know there's a team that's going to fall flat in their face and embarrass themselves. And who that's going to be is going to be interesting to watch too. So great stuff, Tim. What a nice way to start the week. This is Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. Check us out on Wednesday, our normal time for our big show. Snipes and Stripes, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, right here on nofilter.net. We have the best team, and we are going to continue to win.
Shout out to Believe T TV as well.
Yeah, that's right. Believe TV and Bet Online. Obviously, Bet Online is another sponsor of ours. My Whiskey in the Wild. Make sure you go out and get your whiskey. And of course, go to Caffeine TV. Download on Caffeine TV. It's a great place to watch Snipes and Stripes also. So good stuff on our sponsors, Tim. Take care, and I'll see you Wednesday.
Sounds good. See you, pal.
Bye-bye.